Thank you. He is honorable member. He is pleasure for us to be here. And I just wish to write that I spoke to our director general last night, and she apologizes for herself and for Ms. Rowley Sikensen, who is our director general, deputy director general, ICT Infrastructure Services. They are leading actually a huge South African delegation to this very busy conference, and that delegation comprises of a couple of discussions, government departments, ourselves, policy, knowledge council, science and technology, CHAT, the aeronautical service, doing its of the English delegation, and held only once in the field a year, so all the world is gathered. I'd like to quickly introduce the team, and I'm going to ask my colleagues to introduce themselves and give these contacts. The members will see their heads now, but they will hear their voices. The portfolio committee will most of them. So I'd like to ask my colleagues to introduce themselves.
I'm not a workshop person, I'm not a board member. Good morning. My name is Erima Chavachek. I'm the Deputy Director General for Finance and ICT Enterprise Development.
Honorable Chairperson, fellow members of the committee, my name is Keith Shawan, who is the Deputy Director General responsible for ICT International Safety.
Good morning. My name is
Pradhan Mizarada.
I'm the acting
leader
for ICT Development.
My name is Harold Jessel. I'm the acting CEO for Marama.
Good morning. My name is
Basani
Bajaj, I'm the Chief Director of the
Department of Finance and Management. Good morning. My name is Bongi Lamakopi, I'm the
Chief Director of the Management.
Good morning. My name is Bhutani Namakade,
I'm the Chief Director of
the Department of Finance.
Good morning. My name is
Alvin Mises,
Director of
Media
Communication. Thank you. Very fine.
We've got a long presentation, but I don't want to mention quite some time, but because it's just getting joint, and I'd just like to remind ourselves about the management department, because that is the context of the ministry. Our mandate is to have a favorable ICT environment that ensures that they have the capacity to advance our social economic development, that we move north of Africa and then also all over the world. And to live out that mandate, our core function is to develop ICT policies and legislation that stimulates and enhances the sustainable economic development of the South African economy and also positively impacts on the social well-being of all our people. It's also to ensure the existence of a robust, reliable and affordable ICT infrastructure, to ensure the availability of appropriate ICT infrastructure and services to increase the capacity of the site to deliver and also to exercise oversight over our equity and then to implement South African foreign policy in the context of the ICT sector. And our vision is therefore to be a global leader in harnessing information and communication technologies for social economic development. And the mission is to enhance the well-being of all people in South Africa, the African continent and the world, to the creation of a sustainable and enabling ICT environment. Now, if you click to the scan as well as our annual report, you will see that our key objectives and what we aim to achieve and what we really see are always grouped under the following five broad strategic focus areas, which we have based on government priorities. The first of which is to achieve higher rates of investment in the economy, increase the competitiveness of the economy, broaden participation in the economy, contribute to building a better world, and contribute to the capacity of the state to deliver. And we will briefly present our achievements under those headings. So with regard to achieving higher rates of the investment in the economy, the key focus area here is the broadcasting media migration. This is actually our flagship project, and this has numerous benefits for the country, of which there is specialized television services, increased local content, more regional content of national interest, additional local language content, new channels catered for education, health, and resources, as well as access to government services and information, and this is usually referred to as e-government. Now, we have finalized for the reporting period the digital broadcasting digital migration strategy as well as the implementation plan for this strategy. And in February of this year, Cabinet approved that 1 November 2008 will be the switch on date for the digital signal, and 1 November of 2011 the analog signal will be switched on. And this provides for a deal that has been a termination period of 3 years when both digital and analog signals will run. After 1 November 2011, we will only have digital signals. With respect to increasing the competitiveness of the economy, policy directives for new and upgraded post offices will be released. And we've also finalized a number of policy directives aimed at reducing the cost of communication. And these relate to the following issues. First, international terrestrial and submarine cable, robust, reliable, and affordable international connectivity for South Africa, increasing competition through conversion of land licenses, access to emergency communications, frequency spectrum, procedures and criteria for awarding radio frequency spectrum licenses, underserviced area licenses, local loop and unlimited services, and all states. Those are the issues that are covered by policy directives. Broadening participation in the economy. Our focus here was on national emergency communication. And we have completed our target partnership document as well as the feasibility study that relates to the 102 emergency call center that is here in the plan. With respect to contributing to a better world, focusing on Africa, what happened in August last year, South Africa was one of the first countries to sign the policy and regulatory framework for the NAPAD ICT broadband infrastructure network for Eastern and Southern Africa. This is the first and largest of its kind in the world. The NAPAD C-School demo project was finalized and is now ready to be launched in 6 schools in South Africa during this year. And the South Africa Sudan Joint Financial Commission was launched in May 2006 in Pretoria. The South-South Cooperation, which is the deal with ICSA, the framework of cooperation was signed and making it the first and most comprehensive in the ICSA cooperation. Regarding our multilateral activities, South Africa participated in the ICU as an ICU stands for the International Telecommunications Union. The Center Century Conference and was elected to the Council of the ICU for the fourth time in a row. South Africa also participated in the ICU Regional Radio Communication Conference and was elected chair and expert of the Planning Committee for Region 1, which is Europe and Africa. And South Africa was also, during the reporting period, elected to chair the African Support Committee to provide support to Kenya in the 2008 conference. Now, we have reported to previous disclosures about the World Summit on Information Society, and there's a lot of follow-up. The most important that happened in the reporting period is that we held an information ethics conference, which was the first of its nature. In the special concerning the faculty of the site of the Libis, the issue of the social services amendment bill, that was passed in Parliament and signed in law, following recommendations for the licensing by the Council on Mutual for License. The social regulator staff was successfully transferred to the Council in line with the Council Amendment Act and the Labour Relations Act. We are proud to say that for the fifth consecutive year, we have received an unqualified audit opinion, and for the third time, without any matters of emphasis. The report also shows that we've improved spending patterns, and our total spend was 99.8% of the total budget. We have also completed the risk assessment, and this is the basis for the completion of our new fraud prevention plan, as well as our risk management plan. Of the 394 public positions, 326 are currently filled. We have also last year implemented a leadership and management development program through the assistance of the University of Victoria, and 31 SMS members, senior management service members, attended the 16 MMS members and 2 ADCs completed this course. With regard to our compliance with employment equity statistics, we've indicated that of all staff, 46% are females. It's 149 out of 326. Of SMS members, 34% are females out of the 65 of the total population. With regard to disabilities, we are currently standing on 1.2 out of the total staff complement. So we are moving towards achieving the target of 6.7 in 2009. As you know, the Presidential National Commission on the Information Society and Development, the community on ICT, is also linked to the department, and we also would like to report on their achievements. Now, as mentioned, the World Summit on Information Society report. Now, from WITSIS plan of action and the Presidential International Advisory Council on Information Society and Development made certain recommendations, and implementing those recommendations, the CMC developed what we call a National Information Society and Development Plan, the ICAP plan, and was done together with the National Working Group, made up of representatives of the Director General of all government departments, the Director General of the provinces, as well as SALGA. And then February this year, Cabinet also approved that plan, and they regard that plan as a framework to build an inclusive information society in South Africa. At the same time, Cabinet also approved the country's vision for building an inclusive information society in South Africa and reduced prices, establish South Africa as an advanced information society in which ICT tools and information are key drivers of economic and societal development. Now, to ensure coordinated and integrated implementation of this plan, something was needed, and Cabinet further approved institutional mechanisms for the service. The first is the Ministerial ICT Committee, which will be chaired by the President, and this committee will be supported by a new forum of South African Directors General in the Potter Cluster called the ICAS on the Cluster. We have also launched in the year 2006 the ICAS Intergovernmental Relations Forum. This forum is chaired by our Minister with the Minister of Public Service and Administration as the first Deputy Chairperson and our Deputy Minister as the second Deputy Chairperson. The rest of the members comprised of 2 MEPs of province, and those were all nominated by the Premier, as well as the CEO of the House of Traditional Leaders. And then, in line with the government-wide monitoring program, the CMC finalized a strategic framework for measuring the impact of ICT on South Africa's citizens. And a national working group was established for the system of various stakeholders to develop the most important, I think, information society for the standards that we need to start measuring this impact. They also commend responsibilization on the development of a measuring tool to measure the uptake and usage of information and communication technology. And the e-barometer measurement tool, in line with the Richard ICT opportunity, aims at measuring the magnitude of the digital divide in the country. So this is the coming up of the country. In implementing the National ICT Plan, the TNC this year decided to target the youth sector. And the aim was to contribute towards addressing poverty and unemployment amongst the youth. And then in collaboration with the National Youth Commission, the TNC developed this youth ICT program, and it was adopted with a vision to empower youth to be active participants in the building of an inclusive information society and in contributing towards getting the lives of all people. Now what they've achieved is that 460 youth were identified from all 9 provinces to be trained and to be established as youth officers, youth cooperatives to implement the plan. The PMC also finalized the multi-cycle engagement strategy with the implementation plan. And in line with the government policy, the number of points were targeted with the aim of profiling them to inform information society interventions that could be initiated. In this regard, they are working closely with the technical champions in these notable areas. They undertook a work study that is 12 of the 13 notable areas to introduce the work of the community and to store first-hand information on the challenges that the United States. As I mentioned before, the ICES IDEA Forum was launched, and this gave further emphasis to the efforts of building an inclusive information society, especially at provincial and local government. If you agree with this, can I hand over to our Department of Finance to take us through the country.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Member, my presentation will focus mainly on the financial resources that we need to achieve the objectives that we have to achieve. Starting with the appropriation that was granted to the State Department for the year under review, our budget was 1.3 billion, and compared to last year, there's about 300,000. 300 million improvement to the budget, which I'll come back to that later. The departmental revenues amount to 3.4 billion, which consists mainly of the dividends from Telkom, as well as the license fees collected by ICASA. And therefore, the total revenue amounts to 4.7 billion, which compares favorably with last year of 4.2 billion. How we use that money? For personnel and for compensation of employees, 99 million, and compared to last year, 88 million. For goods and services, 197 million. Financial transactions in assets and liabilities, 8 million. And the total of our ops for the year under review is 304 million. Transfers to portfolio organizations, I'll give you a breakdown of the data, it's a billion, and with an increment of 300 million, again, I'll talk to those figures a bit later. And our total capex assets is 8.4 million compared to 11 million of last year. The total expenditure, including the transfers, is 1.3 billion. And transfers, because all the revenues that we receive are to be transferred to National Treasury, 3.4 billion, and the balance of 2.7 million, was the amount that we surrendered, the amount that we could not use for the period under revenue. To maybe put it differently in the next slide, is that our op budget, or our current payment, as stated in the estimate of national expenditure, amounts to 304 million compared to last year of 263 million. if you see a high percentage of the DOT budget is dedicated to transfer to the portfolio organization, amounting to $1 billion, again compared to last year, $754 million, and therefore our total expenditure of $1.3 billion is $1 billion last year. Well, graphically, the next graph really, gives the previous figures in a graph format, and I think it again emphasizes the fact that the major percentage of the DOC budget goes to our portfolio organization. I will give you a breakdown of that. And the rest is really almost similar. Maybe the need there, you see administration, and maybe the reason administration is a bit high. But you know the fact that it houses the minister or the ministry, the minister and the deputy minister, the DG's office, as well as the COO's office. And in the COO's office, you have functions such as IT, communication, and therefore it might look a bit higher compared to the other core functions like policy and international passenger reality. And it's because of the network partner. This table shows the expenditure as a percentage of final appropriation, to what extent that we spend the money allocated to the department. And throughout, the department has really spent its budget as indicated earlier. We have saved about $2.7 million. And throughout, I think the lowest is 98%, but we in administration strategic policy, 99%, policy development, 99%, in finance, shareholder management, 100%, and throughout, so the department in this regard has done well. Maybe let's look at this table basically gives you an overview of what constitutes our transfer savings. I've highlighted in green, maybe the major differences. You would have seen previously that in the year under review we have $1 billion, last year we have $754 million. And the difference is to do with an increased allocation to ICASA of about $50 million. And the support subsidy again increased compared to last year of $50 million, and that was mainly due to making up of the bad liability of SAPO. When the subsidy was introduced, it was not credible. But a year or two ago, SAPO did transfer amongst other things credible, and therefore we were able to say credit to give us that money. Public broadcaster, 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, the SABC was granted funding to modernize its infrastructure, and in between last year and this year, the amount of the increase was to the tune of about $50 million. And there is a very clear show where the country is going. We have the USA, the USF, Michigan Institute, Michigan Electronic Media Institute of South Africa, the Centex, which in that way we received an allocation of $100 million for the digital migration infrastructure in the SABC South Africa of $1 million. The balance of that goes to program production of $29 million, which is comparable to last year, so I won't go through all of them, because the one which we'll come back to a bit later maybe has to do with an ARCA issue, but everything else is almost comparable. Our requirement, that's to give a sense of where we're headed, and our requirements for the year under, for the MTF under review, the 2008 MTF that I believe is before Mincom Bach for finalization. The department, under OPEX, under the operations budget, the department has requested $152 million, $234 million, and $263 million for digital terrestrial migration. Naraka Institute of $97 million, $146 million, and $224 million. And this is very important given the focus on skills development in the country. And we had an unfortunate situation in that this is probably one of those budgets where funding was allocated and gradually taken away from the Nevada, whereas the practice really is that once the budget is allocated, it is then just supplemented on an annual basis. We've requested some funding to increase the capacity of ICASA, particularly to assist with the implementation of the ECA Act of those amounts then, 95 million, 86 million, and 74 million. And for the department personnel, we have looked at our personnel we have a few vacancies which are not funded, and we've asked for those monies for the department. For OPEX, we therefore have asked for 360 million, 475 million, and 550 million. The CAPEX part, we have requested funding for, again, broadcasting digital migration. The difference between this CAPEX component and the previous one has to do with the dual elimination, which the COO alluded to earlier. That's an OPEX, which broadcasters pay to signal distributors, and therefore, we have the view that government should fund that we can, because the policy is ahead to be tried for both digital as well as analog transmission. The Centex wireless network broadband, we've requested an amount of 665 of 1 billion, I think that figure, and 296 in 2010-11. The original request for 200809 was about 900 million, of which 500 million was granted with a special adjustment for Centex to commence the rollout of that network. And the balance, as I say, I believe will be before the main comeback and ICASA for amongst others, monitoring equipment for that amount of money. So our total request is 1 billion, 1 billion, and half a billion.
Thank you, honourable members. So, in closing, we do acknowledge the fact that there are challenges, and we actually listed these challenges last year as well. Because as you, if you go through, you can see it's not things that you can deal with overnight. It takes some time. So the issue of ICT infrastructure remains a challenge, especially broadband, and the areas of accessibility and then also availability. Again, our friend High Cost to communicate, although we have evidence that it is coming down, I'm sure not as far as some people would like that it is coming down. We do have a challenge of low level of ICT usage by government, business and citizens. We have seen again this year in the rating of South Africa by the World Economic Forum that this is the area we really need to attend to. Having alluded to the issue of scarce ICT skills, as well as the low e-literacy, and then also limited local content development capacity in South Africa. But we are starting to address these challenges. I've mentioned the policy barriers that have been issued, and we will continue looking at other ways to bring down the cost to communicate. The ICAP plan that I spoke about that was approved this year by Cabinet and is going to implement it, and linked to that will be skills development that will address the challenges as I mentioned. We are establishing the Maraca ECM Institute, and as Dr. Bessel said, he's now the acting CEO for us to assist us with getting that institute up and running and start building the capacity that we need. In the department, we've also established a chief director to deal mainly with local content development issues. And local content has also been prioritized as part of the industrial policy action plan. With regards to the rollout of infrastructure, as you spoke to allocations, our initial allocation of half a billion to extended wireless broadband is starting to deal with it. And there will be accelerated infrastructure development in our preparation for the 2010 World Cup.
Thank you. I got a few few questions here from the first thing send the DOT for the input. Some of the areas that I've noticed here personally, I'm trying to go through the book again where I pick it up. Let me touch on one, for instance, the utilization of consultants. Before I get to that, here often we make the mistake by thinking because our books balance, we are doing good work. And we sometimes then list those crucial issues that is very little to do with funding, but where you have the courage of conviction to implement and even improve on that. I'm looking at filling up posts. I haven't spoken, he takes full all the posts. What is the breakdown of that post in terms of gender, disability, and you know all of that. Look at the consultants, I think they fill the test miserably. Look at the ACI, there's few that have met that in terms of women. I think it's only on two occasions they've met that, I think it's 40% and whatever. And it's a serious concern, unless I don't read this information correctly, but from what they're providing, they think they're taking consultants, there is a column that is supposed to indicate, are they making use of the HDI, and they seem not to do that. SBC 4 and 5, I'm not sure who's supposed to get the funding for them, but they've been issued or granted a license. It's supposed to be a funding model, you know, the SBC is supposed to be funded by DOC, and yet there don't seem to be any approach to fund those students 4 and 5. It means the language challenges will still be there. My age old complaint about that, we don't seem to have a plan to increase the size of the footprint, and I know we're going to talk to SBC later on, Jefferson. But I need to start with the mother body. There don't seem to be a plan to increase the size of the footprint for all South Africans to be able to access all the channels of SABC. Forget about 4 and 5 because it's just been granted on the same size and, yeah, sake of the current footprint. There wasn't a question about IFRACO. Did we foresee that? Do we... You know, and then if I call it a reality, we voted on it, it's still in all of that. You just also agree on how licensing will take place through the regulator. Do we see, because we have something similar called Centec, do we see Centec and IFRACO complementing each other, or seeing it as competition, or worth more? Do we see a possibility of Centec being neglected because there's now a new kid on the block and all the funds will go to IFRACO and everybody forgets about Centec? Or do we see Centec still play that crucial role at the time it was established and given the multimedia license? Do we see that Centec retains its rightful place as it should have? Therefore, maybe I just stop there and hopefully wait for a second bite on this one. Thank you.
Can you take a few more questions? Yes, thank you. I have a few. The 200 plus youth cooperative, can you just give me some idea of the longevity, if what's the better word? The training these youth, they're going where, with what, the capacity, who, what? Looking through on on pages 145 onwards, analysis of Truth and Worth for expenditure. Going through on quite a few pages, particularly expectation, criminal procedure, in process, we go through to page 157, in process. What time frame do you get for dealing with these matters? And can you give us some idea how long, because it's quite useful, how long you intend to, meet these people in the department, we have agreed that as a team we will answer, so I'll ask psychologist Harry.
Thank you. Around the issue of consultants, it is indeed one of the areas that concerns us as a department to increase, particularly the use of SMEs and ADIs in the DOC. And to this end, I think we tend to, issue a request for work and publicize it. Maybe a bit more work needs to be done around this area. Having said that, we also, within the, we're governed by the public-private, the procurement, preferential procurement framework act, which stipulates how you go about doing these things. And in almost all these procurements, there is an element of exactly about 30% of that work going to ADI. So that is an area that I agree a bit more needs to be done by the DOC. We have said we probably need to advertise some of this work in community radios, in national newspapers like the Sowetan and the City Press, and not only the mainstream media, to give more information to ADI. I think maybe let me take the fruitless expenditure question. I'm getting a difficult one, Chairperson. The fruitless expenditure, I think part of the problems we have in there's lots of work being done by our departmental adjudication committee, previously the tender committee, to look at these expenditures and make necessary recommendations whether disciplinary steps should be taken or people should be disciplined. And part of the problem, but maybe, is that some of the people have left the department, and therefore, you getting them back is a bit of a challenge. It's not an excuse. I think more work needs to be done.
Time frames.
We should do this by the next by the financial year. By at least March, we can get a similar report. So by the end, by March next year, we should have came. The gifts, they will vary from donations to schools, to churches, and those type of donations, where we have maybe old furniture or particular requests, computers, old computers, things like that. Within the PFMA, we then are able to do that.
Chairperson, I will ask Norman to deal with the policy questions around Infraco and
I think we need the issue of the numbers to be central to government policy, showing that all the numbers that we can achieve within the forecasting platform. That's part of preparing for funding of SB 1995 with 11 by customers. One of the conditions we want to protect the funding model is challenge. We concluded a study which was looking at the supporting model, public-private partnership, looking at the funding model. In our conclusion, we can also at the same time define an agenda for critical migration, which enables us as a country to be able to create a special logical use offered to the public community. And I think that's something that we could have covered and approved that way to more important. That work has been incorporated into the working and funds effort. It's a level that we need for that. For us, I think it's critical because I think on the question of the SACO, really indeed, Centex is a strategic asset for government, and we see it in the long term, continue to play a very critical role in terms of reserve and report the footprint that we use in the country that is forecasting. We still also see it as a infrastructure that is going to argument in FACO, in the fiber optics infrastructure, particularly in the areas where we then have the footprint of the fiber infrastructure, in particular in connecting schools, health centers, and government offices across the country, where the fiber couldn't. So what I'm trying to say is that I think Centex for us government is a very strategic asset, and I think cabinet has a lot of Centex for us asset that we need to federate our investment in our investment in the
Thank you, Mr. Jason, on for Mavis. The question about the youth cooperatives is, as I mentioned, the team is just talked to the sustainable. It has to be. So, youth were taken from specific communities in provinces to go back to those communities to work there. And there's a lot to be done. You mentioned the multi-purpose team before, that's now known as the youth center. The utilization of ICTs there is critical, but together with that will come the e-tailers to assist people who are not ICT visible to visit to do this. But these youth, the cooperatives will also be used to sort of gathering local content and to put multi-digitize it so that it can use it to ICTs. And they will be provided with a tool to do that. And if you link also to the remark, if you have a challenge of local content development, and I truly also believe it's going to contribute to the government's priority with regard to the identity of the country and social cohesion. And that's the key role that they will play there. With regard to the 2010, I'm going to offer Chief Dynamics, the responsible for and broadcasting to answer, and you just went on to dismiss this question on economic funding that they will take it off.
Thanks, Jen. There's no answer to the question. No analysis has been done in terms of the procedure cost. The reason this has been done is when we estimated the cost in order to request funding from Treasury. Firstly, we had a bank of in terms of recouping the cost to be based mostly on overlay infrastructure, which is infrastructure that comes in when the tenant comes out afterwards. And at that stage, we hadn't finalized the signing of this in terms of what they would consider overlay in terms of infrastructure that's going to be deployed and what would be considered to be based infrastructure. Secondly, the way in which we are approaching infrastructure development is to review the infrastructure economy. So infrastructure that gets pulled out is not conducted for the benefit of the event itself. the investment that goes in there is for legacy provisions later on. And thirdly, recouping the cost will also depend on the operational cost. The agreement is that FIFA is paying for the operational cost of the games themselves. And at this stage of the project, that hasn't been finalized.
Yes, Jason, I want to come back with another one. Just a follow-up, you know, what I said about the vacancies and you know, I thought you will go beyond that. If you look at people that have been promoted to instant, find all the rating, all of us, and none of the same people that have been promoted. I'm sure there must be a problem. And I don't want to start to let the ladies today to take on a loan for them, so I can scream at them and say, because I'm extremely unhappy. Extremely unhappy. Can you imagine being black, being a woman, being disabled? I don't know what they need to do to get promoted. Sorry, they're not stupid just because of the wheelchair. And I don't expect that the party will sit here with all the answers they could say for this, but I need to indicate that I'm extremely unhappy about this one. Thank you.
Can I just pick up on SABC funding? I'm afraid I couldn't share the answers just given very well. Have I got it right that Mr. Matamati is 203 million? Is that what SABC got in the financial year ending March for digital upgrade? And what would the total to date be? Because I remember they got 100 million, I think 2 years ago, 150 million. Is it that plus the 203, or is the 203 the adjusted amount up from 150? And this, it does have relevance to the financial performance of the SABC itself. So can you just confirm the 203 million is for the financial year? What is the total to date? And I'd like to ask just a difficult question, because the SABC is an independent institution. But in a case like this, where the department is the transferring agency for the transfer, well, it's an unusual funding, of course. It results simply from the need to digitize at the moment. Does the department keep an eye on how SABC is in fact using money, both specifically for this purpose? Do discussions on that come in under the, I think they have shareholder contracts and meetings. I'd like to understand that better. And on the SABC store, there's one very encouraging reference on page 22-23 of this annual report to the effect that the department has been looking at corporate governance and the arrangements at the state-owned enterprises. And it has, in particular, sought to clarify the appointment of CEOs, COOs, and CFOs as executive directors of the board. Now, may I ask, this is an issue I think we have flagged in the past and we don't get around to it. It does strike many people, including myself, as very unhealthy that cabinet gives a nod before the appointments of the CEO, CFO, COO, etc. Are done. I've got a feeling it's an historical relic from a previous time. You can quite see how a cabinet might want to have sight of appointing to the utility type of parastatals, but it ought not to apply in the case of the SABC in the constitutional democracy we have. But is that reference shop of page 23, is it as encouraging as I hope it is? Are the department in fact looking at that issue? And the fact that the SABC board or steward is supposed to be appointing its own three top executives, well, also board members. Then if I may depart from SABC and go to the department's own human resources situation, my congratulations to Gerda and the rest of the department, the unqualified for that. But now, may we just look at what it seems to me are problematic areas standing by the information that I keep receiving. I see a reference in the DG's report that the lack of a human resources plan was identified as one of the problems. and that is being attention. On vacancies, please just help me here. Your own vacancy report reflects quite what appears to be a high vacancy rate, an average of something like 37%. Yes, we've been advised today that of 394 funded positions, 326 are filled. So how do you work the statistics? What is that vacancy rate based on? And then the difficult thing is this piece. Now, we were honored earlier by the minister's presence. She left us, I think, no? Because, yes, and the DG ought really to be here to answer that. But now somebody else, I'm sorry, in the assembly has to answer. And I have put parliamentary questions on this issue and I have received some answers. The Public Service Commission has investigated certain appointments at the department. It found that in the case of two people, one a PA, who are a leading member of the department, one an executive secretary, another leading member, were being paid higher salaries than the rate advertised, and the PSC instructed that they should repay the excess, and that the arrangement should be made with them to repay it. In another case, the PSC declared the appointment of one official as irregular, and therefore null and void, because she did not have the requisite experience in human resources, as it happened, and her experience with running the first office in particular was absent. That was declared by the PSC to be null and void. Now, when I asked about these matters and whether the department had acted upon the PSC recommendations, the answer was that the DG essentially rejected their findings and therefore had done nothing about them, which seems to me to be problematic. In particular, the Public Service Commission suggested that the department was to consult the state law advisors, in other words, on what the position is, presumably, or I don't know whether that has deeper and darker implications. Now, in her reply to me, which obviously comes from the minister, but I must assume comes from the DG, she, as I say, rejected the findings. She claimed that she herself holds delegated authority under a sort of public service regulation to rule that in fact the higher salaries were appropriate and to decide that the case of the irregular appointment was okay anyway. Now, although she rejected the findings and therefore the query, she did, however, cryptically at the end of one parliamentary reply indicate that in fact she would be consulting state law advisors. So my question to you is have the state law advisors in fact been consulted on appointments which were found by the Public Service Commission to be overpaid and in one case absolutely null and void? Then, on the more interesting area, so basically the FLEC question, the human resource question, and then there are a number of policy areas where I think all of us would like to talk to you all day. But please, just to choose the one that I think is most pressing at the moment. I have read that we are to hear in this month, November, what in fact the government's position is going to be on undersea cables and the matter of landing rights for commercial cables being built, especially off the east coast of Africa. The statements today have been extremely problematic. They seem to me to constitute the throttling off and the denying of access to South Africans of bandwidth coming available. So I would be really interested to hear when we're going to hear something and what it's going to be, if possible. May I just add the last one? The department must surely have been very embarrassed when its report on local loop unbundling was published. It was brought to us also, which is the suffering. No sooner had that happened than it was revealed that large parts of that LNU report, written by consultants to the department, were plagiarized direct from the European Union report of a few years ago. Would the department like to comment on that?
Can you take one more question?
Yes.
My question relates directly to the annual report and not so much to the presentation. Please, we can go to page 82, point 11 on labor relations. It says, during the reporting period, the why not? Is it essential for in future other regulations? And then on page 92, on the effects of constraints, we have there that it says, that the department continues to face challenges, just really is a challenge, and we see it also as a challenge, but we want to know on personnel, are the trends in place, or is there any improvement that let me just elaborate on it. The department continues to face challenges and the same people of qualified personnel. This is mainly due to a growing IT sector, which requires critical IT skills and commission to place premium for critical and fair skills. This therefore has an impact on the department's ability for critical vacant positions within the reporting period. So I want to know what is any trend in place or is there any improvement on this. Then if you go to page 100, please. My last question. Other matters. We have three points there. And this relates to due to a lack of establishing an adequate control environment, the following occurred. These are the points. Certain policies and procedures were updated. Point two, non-compliance with the performance management policy of the department. We have noted in the audit, and then point three, the department is not based on the business structure and no means of strength in place. So, I want to know, is the adequate control environment being established or are there some strength in place of establishing the adequate control environment? Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, I'll ask the finance manager to deal with the question soon.
Thank you very much. So following the funding of the we have mentioned that given the fact that we don't have digital migration, we're going to have more channels, which will be, and therefore we're going to, instead of funding in a very, very cost inefficient manner, funding the channel 4 and 5 currently. We were recommending and proposing that this be looked at in the process of migrating from digital to, from analog to digital, as we would have available much more channels and therefore give a better scope to achieve those objectives. With regard to the 200 funding, I think my colleagues won't be the might want to help me here, but you will probably recall that In our 2-3 years ago, the Minister of Finance, and I think you mentioned it yourself, or Treasury, funded the modernization of SABC infrastructure, and a total of about 700 million was granted for that purpose. The first year, 100 million was granted. The second year, about 150 million was granted, and I think this year, it's 150 again, and the balance will be paid in the outer year of the NTF process. We are obliged by the PFMA that when we transfer the money, we need to have oversight over whatever funding is being transferred to whatever entity. And therefore, to this end, when we transfer money to the SABC, we do request their plans and any other entity for their matter. And as I say, we are obliged by the PFMA coming via the DOC budget, and we do seek report back on how that funding is being utilized. With regard to the articles and the corporate governances, we do this periodically with all the entities that we transfer money to, partly as part of that excess oversight of transferring money, but also to align the articles in line with, for argument's sake, the Companies Act, undergoing review and other development in the area of corporate governance. So periodically, I mean, we would then go through and bring in line all the articles and memorandums of association of these entities, make recommendations, and where feasible, recommend those and implement it, again, for good public governance capabilities.
So the
National
Cabinet
approval
doesn't
arrive
in this particular issue?
Sure,
okay, so we will have to take that up.
Thank you. With regard to several issues on human resources, I know the Honourable Member said was a excitement about the vacancy, but actually the issue of non-disabled persons that were promoted. We do take the point, but I just need to say that when you look at promotion, the issue of matching the competencies of a person with a job requirement comes into play. All that I can tell the community is that we are committed to achieve those targets. And as management, it's not an age-old problem to make sure that we achieve the target of keeping the disability of disabled persons in the department. We, as the whole department of the DFC, or the management of the department of the DFC, will be taking responsibility for that in our respective branches, which we manage. Before I ask my human resource manager to deal with the other questions, I want to go to the question that was raised by Linda Smith about the Public Service Commission on certain appointments in the department and the recommendations that were sent to the department. The issue there is that they send recommendations for immediate implementation. We did not have the option to discuss this with them. However, we are now in the process. We have sent a letter through to the chairperson of the Public Service Commission on raising our views on each and every of those recommendations made. And the short answer to this question is yes. We also have consulted the state law advisors on some of the matters that they've raised. I think I've answered all of those issues because the matter is now in the hands of the Public Service Commission. The Director General and the Minister did meet with the chairperson of the Public Service Commission 2 weeks ago, and we have a process going to clarify all these issues. I will ask Ms. Bonnoy to deal with the other actual questions as well.
Thank you. On the first question on whether there have been any agreements or collective agreements between the bargaining chambers, is that the reason why we say that is that we are actually the members of the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council. What that means is that there was nothing that we agreed upon outside the bargaining council. For instance, that normally comes in when you've got new policies or new conditions of service. So that is not an anomaly, is that at that particular point in time, we do not have any collective agreement. However, it's important for the committee to know that we've got a healthy bargaining chamber that is effectively running within the department. Then on the issues mentioned on page 100 on matters of emphasis, one of them that actually directly links to human resources management is an issue of the performance management policy, which we have actually tightened up, and we are busy, you know, training some of them, all the managers, you know, to ensure that, you know, there is compliance. To date, we have done some audits, and, you know, the compliance has improved better. So with that understanding, that assists in that aspect. And secondly is that, you know, there are new functions which we had to go through the process of, you know, diligently looking at the various KPAs to ensure that, you know, those KPAs can be, let me say, understood and weighed against a particular position. So that process was dealt with it and through the organizational design process that the department has concluded. And that also answers the next question on the department approved organizational structure. Yes, it's quite true. That's why some of the positions could not be filled. We went through the process, which is a normal practice that needs to be done after every 2 years to check on the human resources needs and the structure is ever still in line with your your organizational objectives. That is, at the moment, we have submitted the structure of the department to the Minister of Public Safety and Administration for concurrence after the organizational design process. That's when we're able to look at, you know, the positions that we need to phase out or the positions that are new that needs to be met. So we went through that process together with the profiling of those positions and the evaluation of those positions. So that's why the department could not have an approved structure. That is, in terms of the new regulation, it has to be sent to the Minister of Public Safety and Administration for concurrence. But however, we're still waiting for that response. As far as the organizational structure in terms of the, also the high vacancy rate, some of the positions that have been in the current structure were not profiled appropriately, but we have reviewed that particular structure in terms of looking at which ones are priority, which ones need to be funded. So all the positions, as far as the structure is concerned, that now we are comfortable that we've got the relevant structure with the relevant numbers and the capacity that we need in terms of finalizing them. Hence, you know, we could not actually come up with a final human resources plan because it has to deal with the demand, the current structure, and the forecasting. Now that we have finalized the structure, you know, as a collective, we'll be able to come up with a human resources plan that will inform us as to how we're going to fill those positions in consultation with the Employment Equity Forum and the targets that we're going to set ourselves for the new Employment Equity Plan of the department, which will ultimately address some of the challenges that have been raised earlier on. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll now ask my colleagues from Policy Development to deal with the questions related to the title, the landing rights, as well as the local legal language.
Okay, I will be responding to the question of the the department is waiting on finalizing the policy guidelines with regards to the running of this is in line with the section 1, which requires the minister to issue project guidelines regarding the requisition of electronic collection credit in the country. And our decision has been informed by our international government to ensure that we increase ownership and control by African companies in South. In that also implying that this is an advantage of national security regarding the issue of access to sub-national security. Furthermore, the issue of the country's ever-increasing demand for international security or international values in that regard. Also, our decision has also been informed by standard design looking at some of the countries, amongst others the US, Canada, and India, in terms of how they will reach out sub in learning sub-mine cables in other countries. And I think we found that we need to do some form of regulation with regards to I think in that regard, we are finalizing the project guidelines as well as the and hopefully the project of this month will be able to issue those for public comment. But I just want to underscore the fact that the issue of the increasing African presence in this critical infrastructure that is required by the country for us to be able to meet the demand of the venue as our sector grows, as the new demands are being put in place, to ensure that we contribute towards the resolution of cost of communication. Because international bandwidth, we looked at this also one of the contributing factors is high cost of communication, particularly it is not a daily exercise, as I might say. It's a complex issue where the country are dealing for the first time. I think all the members will have opportunity to look at the guidelines and that's where in terms of what I hope debate on this issue rather than not compromise issues of investment.
I can just also report that, nothing changed as far as the substance of the report is concerned, and also not the recommendation. So we were happy, and the sections were then properly referenced, and a new document was produced.
What is
that
not
cost,
Chairman? Did you find it?
No, it was a committee that worked on it, and we paid in S&T basically, to attend meetings and course for travel, but they were not consultants.
That's a long time, Commissioner. You can't
say anything about the university. Right.
My understanding is that we will put the one responsibility once we appreciate that some of the applications particularly for the Department of the School of Mathematics, has been indicated that it's presented to the Now, Chairman, this is the way the report is concerned. To me, the report has not talked about what is it that is submitted, what is the assessment of the department. Because you see, some of the objectives of the department cannot be able to achieve those. It should be achieved through this subject. But when you read the report, if you see what is in the act, it does not say when you come to your father, in terms of their money, what is the assessment of the department now for the agency. I think one has to take that report, but the current one is present itself. And it does not give the key. It left all the oversight to ask the parliament where they come once a year anyway. You don't need to have continuous meetings of people. Now my issue is, if maybe if they strike out the report, they do have such information. One member will request such information to be updated so that we understand what the city of the department has passed. But if not the case, maybe we need to find a way where that is not important. Sir, I'm raising this issue specifically. When we pass the EPA, we talk about the issue of the hearing. Part of what the department must do is this issue of having the information for buyers, encourage the research and so on and so forth. but we've got one clause in the DCA which is talking about the key rate in terms of school where they must pay 50%. What is the assessment of the department? What is the problem? Why we are not moving fast into that? I know that it customers too much of the way, but I think the responsibility of the department also to ask itself, what is the customer doing about that particular matter? It cannot be quiet. To me, that's a critical matter, do or die in my position. I'm expecting the department to respect on that matter before even the CASA can come into that. That's how public enterprise is in the public entity itself. But I think maybe that's the way in terms of the report is being written and so on. The other issue here, which is the policy matter, which I thought it would reflect on the either the DC or the minister report, is the issue of scheduling of centers. Is the agreement in the department that is integrity in own schedule? I understand the frustration of the CFMA that is rigid, you cannot just move up and down from 3 feet to and so on. But the report of the department is funded. What is the department saying about that particular matter? Whether they are agreed or not is something else. But what is the department saying on those matters? What to me they are doing that? If we talk about this wireless, national wireless broadband, in the current form of Centex, without money from the department achieving that, it's a compromise with the poor people. It's a compromise set with the poor people. For Infraco, as much as going to cover those people, but in their main will be reducing costs, and they will start in the main cities like anyone else for the second road. It's a difference in the low rate or low poor area, one. Centex, I don't see any substantial funding to roll out the wireless and so on. Which are the clinics, food, and so on, who look after this work? If all of us can't do it. That's the question I'm asking myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On the coordination and integration, the department launching the forum for the health food and health problems, I mean, it's like I don't know which department has been sent to you. And then on the total project, we've got 450 youths who were identified from all 9 provinces to be sent and to establish key cooperatives. Can you elaborate on this? Tell us where is the progress now of this? Identified you and what criteria was used by the department, and how are you intending to monitor this cooperation? And in your report, you have had critical projects. How exactly the department came to increase access to ICT in rural areas? This is a rep from Bumala. Under your strategic policy coordination, the report that there has been great development in assisting municipalities to develop websites in Bumala. Can you really expand on this municipality? And in your administration campaign, the department is details of how transfers were carried out, for example, how many staff members were involved, and what challenges did the chamber encounter during this process. What is the department's intention to do? The quality that is the provinces, maybe if you can. If you can tell us some problems. If you don't have, you can.
Thank you. My question relates to the same speech, and
I would like to know if you have the cooperatives, how many of these cooperatives will be established in each province, and what is the time frame for the training and the establishment of these cooperatives? And then on the 13 nodal areas, I checked in the annual report, but I couldn't see any information on in which provinces these nodal areas are situated. And we, in the interview, we look at it from a provincial angle. So it's critical for us to have this type of provincial information on this issue. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes.
One question. I cannot repeat the other. In one of your pages, this is page 160, you are putting on your assets and the disposal thereof. My question would be, do you have an asset register? Can you produce it now? Do you have a policy on disposal of those assets? Or whatever, if you could tell me those. And then, or if, or as, I'm just thinking of one of your entities here, think of the post office. I'm thinking of all the land that used to belong to the post office, they were closed. I can count them. I come from one of them. The poor and the marginalized by the department. I tell you, can't go. You have let the post office they got closed. They must be there. The post office they got closed. Seven of got closed. You have registers of all those land buildings that are being vandalized now.
Thank you.
This report is beautiful, it's a nice and strength of booklet form, but the most horrible photos of everybody, I think it was just the minister's permit photos of on the everybody count. And I thought it would just take a minute or two to take actual pictures of these people. Like I said, the most horrible ones, I don't know, maybe the angry the minister and the rest of the people. Coming back to the question,
I know.
You can imagine if you go to the department case and the kind of picture will put off you on there. No, I will not say which photos of those. But even coming back to the issue, you know, I'm the member of the ANC deployed to Parliament. I'm not an ANC member of Parliament, I'm deployed to Parliament. We have a conference coming up now and I need to answer questions. We passed a resolution that the public broadcaster must be fully funded. They're coming after lunch. But I need to ask this question. We want the public broadcast to be independent, and not just independent from political influence, but also the ad industry and just everybody from the opposition party, particularly them. So we need the independent broadcast. I think they haven't come close to the fully funded. I'm going to ask this to SABC. I want to know from them because where is the bottleneck? Well, sometimes they refer me to the DOT, DOT refers me to SABC. I need to know where must I fight. Because I think it's about 2% between government sectors. Others are ads, 80% ad spend, and 70% from other source of income. Where is the bottleneck? And why don't we get close to the fully funded model as proposed by the ANC? Thank you, sir.
We need something new to work.
what we've done, but not what the outcomes of it. So if we do think about it, and then we make it about what we need to do as much as we can. When we got to the very interesting that we do look at the progress in the deployment of giving, if you like. And we are very satisfied with the rate of which is growing. I think we're looking at some of the causes. Really has to do with a number of factors, one of which is the readiness of the school to receive this rate. There are very little infrastructure in those schools, and there are times where I'm sure it has some we can extend the way to this, but there are times when you find that schools are identified and when Telkom whatever goes and implements, the school can't be found in the location which was given for that person. So you find me that there's also a number of challenges that really are not of our doing, that are not of the Kata doing. And maybe to also say that I know that ourselves and Kata and education are really working on this to make sure that there is proper coordination between the three of us and the issues of the GIS, proper GIS, when the school is the electricity in that particular school, because without the electricity you can't provide internet connectivity. So there is work. I think you can't have it. I'm sure you can't have it much better than it is from this issue. With regards to the scheduling and the funding of CNCF, Mr. Mugera, this has, I think, even if in this year's July in the DOT came out and that was approved, that CNCF, the position as the wireless broadband infrastructure of the country, prioritizing amongst other schools, health facilities, government offices, and all of this. So the DOT continuously keep on bringing the bar insofar as funding of the country is concerned. And the figure is the same. In working with Treasury, we are happy that some funding has been allocated now. We know how far we can break with this issue. And hopefully, in the MTS, the forthcoming MTS, we probably would be allocated some funding going forward. Maybe when the other place starts to say yes, we do have a good register, and we will provide that to the honorable members. And yes, we do have an asset position. Again, we will provide that. With regards to SAPO, I wouldn't really pretend to want to answer that question, but we can get the information and then forward it to the honorable members. And the funding of the public broadcaster, we're very discussing with the public broadcaster, and I think what is probably maybe happens is that the fact that there is some investment in the politics in this regard. Because I think that's very important. The politics will be from what is the right risk of public excitement, because what we think is
the thing. I just want to touch on the question of the funding of the public broadcaster. I think it is important that the public broadcaster be capacitated financially, what it is able to be charged with, also ensuring that the context that it could contribute to our information being. Of course, what is done that we have the program and the content in all of the dialogue. I think honorable members will recall that in the time when I was in the state, one of the sessions of the broadcasting session is what is left within the broadcasting act. The sector is the public broadcaster. In that regard,
different ways for to next year, for to the age, will be submitted to the public for having been to Parliament. And central to this deal will be on the question of the funding of the public in terms of the what is the right mix of revenue or funding that we can be able to do that. I think we are looking at that. I think that question I think we're able to deal with it in that public procedure that we will be able to Parliament in the next financial year. So I just want again to kind of set aside and I think in our view as government that the public works has a big capacity of financial and we need to have the right balance of the revenue that we need to actually get either from government or from advertising and so on. So that model I think that we would assist us because of how we move forward in terms of that. Again to that is the whole question of the issue about the senior application. In terms of the question of that. So that the bill will be able to deal with the issue of the public, the funding of the public in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions? Also human resources related about the transfers and the challenges. I think I heard the challenges that the Department of Bargaining and Chamber has to get about that, as well as our internship program, and I will ask Mr. Lawrence to do that.
Thank you. The first one was that as to the Ikhaba Amendment Act, was that we had to ensure that, you know, all staff members are not worse off. So the transfers went very well. It was a team of management within the DOs which formed part of the bargaining chamber and the management team from ICASA. But however, the challenge that we had was an issue around the post-retirement benefits that are offered by the GPF. The members wanted that money as the post-retirement benefit to be paid out in cash. However, the option was that they could remain at ICASA under the GPF, which currently we have referred the matter to the public service and administration as they are the custodians or the owners of the GPF benefit. We're still waiting for them. However, we have signed that agreement also pending that issue that will actually revise at a later date. The other thing that we actually looked at that was a challenge was that during the process we only had unions that were representing them, you know, which was the Public Service Association and NEHAU, and the Communications Workers Union could not participate because of they viewed them as not members, and those two unions that we had were not actually didn't have member or sectoral rights, you know, at ICASA. That was one of the challenges. But however, the others, we managed to negotiate and settle and sign an agreement. That is the only issue that is pending currently. And then on the issues of internship, the department has got an internship policy which has negotiated and agreed upon at the bargaining chamber and approved by management. The process of looking at interns is that normally we just advertise in the paper and then the panel who is the line manager and some HR officials sit in and come up with a selection criteria, and all the branches or the managers that wish to have interns in their own areas, they are actually trained on mentoring and coaching so that at the end of the day the objective that they would expect for that particular year gets achieved through training and mentoring, and that we've got a program for each intern for the entire period. That is, in terms of our policy, it runs between 6 and 12 months, but currently we operate a 12-month, you know, internship program. Thank you.
Thank you, and I will ask Dr. Paul to give you the question of the community of the
thank you,
Mr.
The Methodist School, when it started just about 4 years ago, intentional to use satellite to connect the schools by virtue of the geographical position of the school in in the just in summary, the plan is to connect 600,000 schools in the continent, and this is a three-phase approach whereby the first phase will see 6 schools in 20 countries, the other 6 countries being connected in order to launch the demo phase. So I think there is participating in the demo phase, including the Maharashtra secondary school in Kumala. And the project has evolved. The project has evolved to the extent where connectivity will now be provided through cable, fiber optic cable, as well as wireless technology and internet. And then perhaps I think the Honourable Chair asked the question of the MECs from the province. According to Act 13 of 2005 of the Intergovernmental Relations Act, Act of 2005, the Minister is requested or required to establish an intergovernmental forum which shows competencies within the Ministry, between the provinces. It was agreed that the MECs from the provinces who will sit on the forum will be an MEC. One will come from the economic cluster, and the other will come from the social. So it's up to the province to nominate, or rather, I think the minister wrote to the premier, so it's up to the premier to nominate an MEC from one of the social structures.
Okay, the remaining questions, actually, we are in a little bit of a situation because the representative from the public presidential national commission did not make it here. And I want to ask the indulgence of the ministry. We will be prepared to all the questions that were asked about the cooperative team. Any questions you need to that, and all the points that we're targeting, we can provide a full report. I want to miss them by Friday, the previous time, that we will send to the chief of functioning that can be distributed to the community. That is applicable. With regard to it, is one of the questions that were asked around the cooperatives and the rollout plan. I just want to kind of picture, because it gives the context in terms of the time frame we are talking about to see an impact. Earlier this year, all the directors general were called to a meeting with the president of the administration. The outcome of that meeting was the identification of what is now called ethics policy. Authorities that within 2 years' time, or actually now less than 2 years, or 18 months' time, can really have an impact as far as delivery is concerned, an impact on bettering the lives of South Africans. And we have the honor of having the ISIC Project 3, which is focusing on building an inclusive information society through the implementation of the ISIC plan. And one of the key sub-projects would be utilizing youth for what we service. So the eco-officers will form part of that. And the timeline we're talking about before we looking at the impact would be 2009. But this is just to give Honorable Mena's idea of what timelines we are talking about, but exactly how we plan and to do it and what could be rolled out, that that will be important. What I can confirm is that the first batch of youth has been trained and they received the certificates. They were trained by the Foreign University of Technology. And that goes to that information. So we will give more information. So that will be also be included in
the report. Yes. It's a day in a small room. I'm told that the committee section has arranged for lunch for all of us, so we are invited. Unfortunately, some of us prefer another meeting at the quarter of 3 of us want to be able to have to rush down the venue of a proportionate night. And if the library is open to
Thank you.